Psalm 61 is a Psalm of David written for the choir director that was to be played on a stringed instrument. In other words, this was a psalm that was designed to be publicly sung and publicly communicated. Now, a key word of this psalm, which gives us some insight as to the theme of the psalm, is the word faint in verse 2. That particular Hebrew word means to be covered or wrapped in darkness to the point where one feels feeble and faint. So this word describes a very dark, gloomy depression that leaves one weak. Hank Williams used to sing, "Your cheating heart will make you weep, while your fainting heart will make you weak." When David wrote this psalm, things for him were very dark and dismal. He felt he was surrounded and covered by dark things to the point where he was feeble, faint, and weak. Have you ever been there? Have you ever been in such a gloom that you don't even have the strength to get up out of bed? Well, David knew what this was like, and so does God. I like what one commentator said concerning this psalm. Regardless of the original function, any child of God may pray this prayer for himself. Every believer will have times of rest and trouble. Every believer will have times of fear and hope. Every believer will have times of tragedy and triumph. Every believer will face times of light and darkness. And Psalm 61 is a prayer psalm made from a fainting heart that was surrounded by dark circumstances. It's a prayer of a believer who felt all alone and afraid. And the main point is this: when a faithful believer finds himself with a fainting heart, surrounded by things that make him feel alone and afraid, he can pray to God, knowing God hears and cares. And sometimes we find ourselves afraid. Sometimes our heart faints and we feel weak. This is the very moment we should pray. Look at verses 1 and 2, where David prays to God. He says, "Hear my cry, O God. Listen to my prayer. From the end of the earth I call to you. When my heart is faint, lead me to the rock that is higher than I." Now it's clear from this prayer that there's no ritualistic or pharisaical repetition of words. This prayer was from the heart, and it cries out to God for help. In fact, the word cry indicates it's a very emotional and piercing cry to God. When David asks God to hear and give heed to his prayer, he's crying out to God, asking him to specifically answer the prayer. And in verse 2, David acknowledges that God is the only one who is capable of taking him from his very low state and raising him to a very high state. And in other words, David was low, and he realized that God was the only one who could elevate him out of his lowly state. It is possible that David was trying to escape into a rocky wilderness. If so, he's asking God to lead him to a rock that he could not find himself, and to a place that would be safe from the discovery of others. Also, he certainly wanted God to take him to the new heights in his relationship with God. One of the lessons we learn from the book of Psalms is that dark times are trouble when God permits it, but he uses it to bring us near to God. When we find we are experiencing the times of gloom, it's time to run to the Lord in prayer. And Charles Spurgeon, that prince of preachers, said, "Faith's greatest triumphs are achieved in our heaviest trials." And God is fully capable of taking us in our lowest condition and raising us to the highest position. He's able to turn our sorrow into joy, our fear into courage, our weak faith into strong faith. When we find our heart is faint, we need to cry out to God. And that is what David did, and that is what God wants us to do. There's a principle that we know, and that is strength comes by exertion, not by relaxation and sedation. In other words, we get stronger by walking more than sitting. So it is our spiritual lives we get stronger by praying and crying out to God, not by moping and doing nothing. The truth is, this kind of personal prayer is very rare these days. Not too many people pour their hearts out to God. Many people whine and complain, but not many people pray. But those who purpose to cry out to God will discover their faint heart will become a faith heart. And then we see in verses 3 through 5, David remembers the work of God. For you have been my refuge, a strong tower against the enemy. Let me dwell in your tent forever. Let me take refuge under the shelter of your wings, Selah. For you, O God, have heard my vows. You have given me the heritage of those who fear your name. In these verses, David remembered things God had done for him. There were remembrances that David had about God. David remembered that God had been his refuge. It's a very significant lesson of faith that God's people need to grasp, is that our refuge is God. And he also remembered that God had been his tower of strength. Towers were used for protection purposes. Not only could you look out a great distance from the top of the tower, but people thought of these towers as being a strong, safe haven. Now, we may observe that the tower becomes the place of strength when up against the enemy. David had plenty of enemies, Saul, Absalom, and Satan. It's clear that they were many times in David's life when he was afraid. As great a warrior as he was afraid. What he discovered is God was his strong protector. God was the one who gave him strength to endure and to succeed. And he also remembered that God had been his shelter. David wanted to dwell in God's tent forever. What this means is that David wanted to always have close fellowship with God, no matter what he experienced on earth. He desired to draw near to God and take refuge in the shelter of his wings. So when David learned is that during threatening times, he could draw close to God and he could depend on God and turn to God. And Selah means to stop and think about that. And then he remembered that God had heard his vows. David was well aware of the fact that God takes vows seriously. If one made vows to God, one needed to follow through on those vows. And David had promised God a variety of things, and he had followed through on whatever those vows were. As a result, he knew he was in a position to pray and have God answer. There's no way we can expect God to answer our prayers if we're living this double life. We need to be straight in our relationship with God if we are to expect God to move. And he remembered that God had given him an inheritance. David was well aware of the fact that God had appointed him to be king of Israel. He was well aware of the fact that God had given him an inheritance of those who feared God's name. So David was anticipating that God would in fact intervene on his behalf and would in fact answer his prayers. And so David has assurance from God. Good verses 6 and 7. Prolong the life of the king. May his years endure to all generations. May he be enthroned forever before God. Appoint steadfast love and faithfulness to watch over him. And so the more David remembered of the word of God, the more he realized God would take care of him. Remembering what God has done in the past is a great way to be assured of his care in the present and in the future. In fact, J. Vernon McGee said the theme of this psalm and several others is the cry and confidence of the godly. The godly may cry, but they still have the confidence in God that they are crying to. And David was assured that God would prolong his life. Now, many wanted David dead literally. In fact, many were trying to kill him literally. Yet, in the midst of these threats, he became convinced that they would not succeed. He became convinced that he would have a life that would be long. He would live to an old age. When in England they sing the national anthem, it says, God save the queen. Well, David truly believed God would save the king. David was assured that he would abide with God forever. David wanted to fellowship with God forever, and there were two key elements necessary for this: loving kindness, mercy, and truth. God is a merciful God, but he's also a God of truth, and David knew that having fellowship with God meant these two elements were needed in his life. It's also important to see that David believed God was the one who could authorize these things for David, and he was the one who could permit David to have these things in his own life. And God is a merciful God to anyone who will deal honestly concerning their sin. That's precisely what David did. He was honest about his sin. He knew that one may only tap into the mercy of God if one was truthful before God. And then David will always praise God. Look at verse 8. So will I ever sing praises to your name as I perform my vows day after day. The result of God's grace is that one may praise God forever. Every day will be a day for praising God for his wonderful deliverances. A good prayer life will lead to a good praise life. And those who prove God will end up praising God. So when our hearts are faint, we need to pray. And a key to having great confidence in God today is to remember that, what God did yesterday. And no relationship with God will blossom until there's total honesty in that relationship.